Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, we come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we come asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to give us the guidance and the truth of this your word, Heavenly Father, to take us deeper into it. Now, Father, be with us throughout the remainder of this study. And Holy Spirit, open our hearts and minds to be receptive. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. We're going to be starting the evening here with Luke chapter 18. Give everybody a chance to get there. Get my throat cleared up a little. We've got just a sprinkle of rain, just enough to mess up sinus and cause the sinus to drainage to the throat. All right. Beginning here at verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. We know that we should spend a lot more time in prayer than what most do. Most of God's people are the believers in Jesus. We'll pray maybe once a day. But that's really not enough. We are told in His Word to pray without ceasing, which means through the day, you're going to be going to Him a lot of times. It's nothing only to praise Him for something He has done or to thank Him for it. It doesn't have to be long, drawn-out prayers. But we are to praise Him and to thank Him for the things that will happen through the daytime. And as we get in to his word. That's something we need to be into at least a couple times a day. For a lot of them to do it because they won't place it as being number one in their life. Sometimes they place it being second, but God doesn't take second place to no one. And one day when you stand before him, you'll find it out, but then it'll be too late. All right, now, verse 2. We know he's talking in a prayer here, a parable here. Verse 2, he says, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming, she worries me. She wouldn't quit. She just kept going to him, going and going and going, until finally, as he called it, she worried him until he made up his mind he was going to answer what she was trying to get him to do. You know, going to the Lord in prayer does not aggravate him or worry him. It's something that we are to do. Verse 6, and the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And when he comes back, how much faith do you think he's going to find on the earth? Because you see, his second coming will be right at the end of the tribulation period. Now, when he comes for the church, but he's not coming all the way back to earth, but when he comes for the church, yes, he's going to find some. We don't know how much, but we know that the way things are going now, it's not going to be a whole lot. All right, now, verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You see, it don't take long prayers, but it takes honesty and faith. And just as he was saying here. Now that was going on about what he had done and was doing and all. And yet, the publican just beat on his chest and said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And he was justified before the other. Now, 15. And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. And when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. Disciples seeing him bringing these infants to him. And now they stopped it and was rebuking them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. Because you see, we, and it makes no difference how long we have been reborn, we are still children in God's eyes. As long as we're here on this earth. And he's letting us know this. 18. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. He's the only good one. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. 21. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. Now this ruler telling Jesus that he'd kept all that from his youth up. You see, Jesus knows the heart. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. How many of our church members today would make it if they were told they had to get rid of everything they owned and give it to the poor and go and follow Jesus? How many do you think would be left in that church? But you see, God expects a lot from us. And he's gave us everything we need to produce what he wants and is looking for. 23. Now this young ruler, and when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? Well, he's really getting ready to let them know something. 25. For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now that's really saying something, isn't it? Easier for them to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter in to the kingdom of God. 26. And they that heard it said, who then can be saved? And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Then Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed thee. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house or parent or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. He's letting you know that if you will keep him first, regardless what else it's costing, but you keep him first, then you are going to receive much more in this present life, but also in eternal life when you step out of this one. What greatness and goodness God gives to us. 1. Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. He's letting them know exactly. And he's letting them know that it's about to happen because they're on their way to Jerusalem. Now, 32. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on. And they shall scourge him and put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again. And he gets up to back at him too when, after he's caught. And as they're doing all of this mistreatment and all to him. Now, 34. And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. They told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. They which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, 41, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith has saved thee. Thy faith has saved thee. 43. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. We have finished now the chapter 18. We're going to be going into 19. You hear in verse 1, when Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, now, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. He's going to stay with him. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was going to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. You see, Jesus didn't come to those that were saved and already belonged to the Lord. He come for the sinner, the one lost, to save them. Now, 11. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself the kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Uh-oh. We know a lot about that, don't we, too? We see it all the time out here. 15. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first saying, Lord, thy pound has gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. Because he was faithful over a little, now he's giving authority over 10 cities. 18. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound has gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came and said, Lord, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou did not sow. Uh-oh, really going against him, wasn't he? Now, 22. And he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knowest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required my own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that has 10 pounds. They said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. 26. For I say unto you, that unto everyone which has shall be given, and from him that has not, even that he has shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. That's quite a parable, isn't it? But it's letting you and I know a lot about how to walk with our Lord and Savior. Now, 28. And when he had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent 2 of his disciples, saying, go ye into the village over against you, in which at your entering you shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do ye loose him? Thus shall you say unto him, because the Lord has need of him. 32. And they that were sent went their way, and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, why loose ye the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of him. And they brought him to Jesus. And they cast their garments upon the colt, and they said Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. If they will hold their peace, the stones will cry out. 41. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. Here he is crying over the city, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee around and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee. They shall not leave thee one stone upon another. Thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Praise his holy name. 45. And he went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold therein and them that bought, saying unto them, it is written, my house is the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. We have a lot of that going on today. And they are preaching from those houses and taking more time to sell things than they do and sharing anything about the gospel with us at all. Now, Verse 47. And he taught daily in the temple, but the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him. You see, from the time he was born in Bethlehem, all through his life, there have been many trying to destroy him. The king tried this when he was a baby. Tried to find him to kill him. Had all the male children in that area from 2 years old and under killed. Trying to get to Jesus. And then as he grew up and all, they was continually trying to get him. Now, Verse 47, and he taught daily in the temple, but the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him and could not find what they might do, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. You see, they're afraid of the people. All right, we're at the end of 19. We're going into 20 now. And it came to pass that on one of those days, as he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel, the chief priests and the scribes came upon him with the elders. You see, here it is, your chief priests, the scribes, and the elders of the temple. And spake unto them, saying, tell us by what authority dost thou these things, or who is he that give thee this authority? the very ones that should have known all about him. Because they had the writings of the prophets and all, should have known, but they didn't. And they're the very ones standing against him trying to get rid of him. And he answered and said unto them, I will also ask you one thing, and answer me. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? And they reasoned within themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say, why then believe ye him not? But and if we say of men, all the people will stone us, for they be persuaded that John was a prophet. And they answered that they could not tell which it was. And Jesus said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. You won't tell me, I'm not going to tell you. 9. Then he began to speak to the people this parable. A certain man planted a vineyard, let it forth to husbandmen, and went into a far country for a long time. And at the season he sent a servant to the husbandmen that they should give him of the fruit of the vineyard. But the husbandmen beat him and sent him away empty. And again he sent another servant. They beat him also and entreated him shamefully and sent him away empty. And again he sent a third, and they wounded him also and cast him out. Then said the Lord of the vineyard, what shall I do? I will send my beloved son. It may be they will reverence him when they see him. But when the husbandmen saw him, they reasoned among themselves, saying, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours. So they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. What therefore shall the Lord of the vineyard do unto them? You see, this parable is about the Lord Jesus Christ and what is to happen and all with him. Now, 16. He shall come and destroy these husbandmen, and shall give the vineyard to others. When they heard it, they said, God forbid. And he beheld them and said, what is this then that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And the chief priests and the scribes the same hour sought to lay hands on him. They feared the people, for they perceived that he had spoken this parable against them. They watched him and sent forth spies, which should form themselves just men, that they might take hold of his words, that so they might deliver him unto the power and authority of the governor. And they asked him, saying, Master, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly, neither acceptest thou the person of any, but teachest the way of God truly. Is it lawful for us to give tribute unto Caesar or no? You see, they send their line to him, trying to trick him. But he perceived their craftiness and said unto them, why tempt you me? Asking them the question. Now, show me a penny. Whose image and superscription? They answered and said, Caesar's. And he said unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which be Caesar's, and unto God the things which be God's. And they could not take hold of his words before the people. They marveled at his answer and held their peace. You see, he knew what they were thinking, just as he knows what you and I are always thinking. Then came to him certain of the Sadducees, which deny that there is any resurrection, and they asked him, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, if any man's brother die having a wife, and he die without children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. There were therefore seven brothers, and the first took a wife and died without children. The second took her to wife, and he died childless. The third took her in like manner, the seven also, and they left no children and died. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of them is she? For seven had her to wife. Trying to trick him, tempting. But you see, 34. And Jesus answering said unto them, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage. But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. Can they die anymore? For they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. Now that the dead are raised, even Moses showed at the bush when he called the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. For he is not a God of the dead, but of the living, for all live unto him. Think about it. Think about what you're hearing. 39. Then certain of the scribes answered, saying, Master, thus as well said. And after that, they thus not ask him any questions at all. And he said unto them, how say they that Christ is David's son? And David himself saith in the book of Psalms, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, till I make thy enemies thy footstool. David therefore calleth him Lord. How is he then his son? Anyway, they want to trick him, but he knows all about it. Now, 45. Then, in the audience of all the people, he saith unto his disciples, beware of the scribes, which desire to walk in long robes, and love greetings in the markets, and the high seats in the synagogue, and the chief rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses, and for a show make long prayers, the same shall receive greater damnation. All of these priests know that's continually going against him. These priests, scribes, and elders, you're letting them know they're going to receive the greatest of damnation. We are now at the end of chapter 20, and we're going to close there for this evening. And the Lord willing, next time we'll be picking up the chapter 21. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the things, Father, that we have been able to accomplish this day. And for the times that we've been into your word, Father, and the prayers that we've had with you. Now, Father, we give you praise, honor, and glory, because all is yours. And we thank you for everything, Father, that you have given to us. Now, Father, I'm asking for everyone that is listening that they will continue to walk according to your will and your way, seeking to be used in whatever way that you have need of them. And I'm thanking you for the Holy Spirit that gives us the knowledge, the wisdom to do whatsoever we are called upon to do. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you for our lives this day. Be with us now, Father, as we prepare to separate and go our separate ways. Keep us all in health. Keep us safe. And as we lay down this night, let us rest, Father, in peace. Wake the morning refreshed and back together in your word at 10 a.m. Eastern time. We thank you, Father. Thank you. Praise you. Praise that holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, all. Have a great night. Hold on to God. Spend some more time with him yet this evening and before you lay your head down, and give him praise and thanks for keeping you through the day. Good night, all.